This podcast is for adults only. It contains themes of a sexual nature that aren't suited for younger listeners. If you're below the age of consent in your area, please stop listening now. Hi, folks, and welcome to the 13th episode of my podcast. Before I get on with things, I want to remind you of my other podcast, Ardor's Erotic Reflections. You can find that show on iTunes and on my podcast page on arderotica.com. That's ArdorOtica.com. Apple doesn't allow podcasts with adult themes and explicit language, so that podcast is a bit more introspective. I talk about my crazy ideas on sex and gender roles. I also talk a bit about what goes on behind the writing of my stories. On this podcast, however, I can say whatever the fuck I like, because no one is looking over my shoulder. No one can tell me what to do. I can really let go and talk like an adult about adult subjects. So, what do I have for you this episode? Today, I'm going to read for you an excerpt from my Newton Public story, The Office of Decent Exposure, and I'm going to talk about an amazing ass-worshipping session I had at a femdom party recently. But first, I want to mention my Kickstarter for The Giant Alien Women of Planet Xur. I am really, really excited about this project. It's going to be for a professionally edited, printed, and bound paperback book with brand new, never-before-read content. The better the Kickstarter campaign does, the more content I'm going to add to the book. If the campaign does well enough, I'm willing to write you people enough hot, nasty, female-dominant alien sex that you're gonna blow a frickin' fuse. You can check out the campaign before it goes live at http://goo.gl/H0A4e. Don't worry. There will be an easy-to-click-on link in the show notes, and there's one on my homepage right under the pretty picture. There's also a sample chapter on my website on the Femdom page, and in Art Erotica podcast number 8, I read you a different sample chapter of the story. So please, go over, check it out, and let me know what you think. Now, on to other things. I'm going to read you a Newton Public story, but, and in this case I do mean but, first, I want to talk about the last Femdom party I attended. It was only my play partner and I this time. If you're looking for a big scene, check out last episode's story where I was teased and spanked by 3 doms. This time, it was only one, but what she lacked in quantity, she made up for in quality, I promise you that. I wasn't naked this time, though. I was wearing a pair of male panties. I don't see the ones I have, but if you go on over to eBay and search for either pouch panties or male panties, you'll find ones similar to what I was wearing. Mine are tan-colored and lacy, with a little skirt thing around them. They are feminine, but they have a little pouch up front so that your dick fits in them. They're actually more comfortable than female panties, and some of them are really frilly, if that's what you're looking for. So now, I was wearing nothing but my little panty skirt. My play partner and I went into a side room and had a little fun. She gave me a nice warm-up spanking with her hand, first over my panties, but then she pulled them halfway down and spanked me on my bare ass. I was on my knees and she was standing. I was half-bent over her leg and she reached over my back to spank me. I loved the naughty feeling of being practically naked with my panties pulled down around my thighs as she spanked me. Oh, God. So hot. There was a couch in this side room, and she sat down on it. I knelt between her spread legs as she took a hold of my hard dick and slowly stroked it. We looked deep into each other's eyes as she brought me close to orgasm again and again and again. But she stopped every time I seemed to get too excited. I don't know what it is about being teased like that, but I love it. I guess it's the feeling of being controlled. The idea that she was the one who had all the power to give me pleasure and take it away. Once, when there was some pre-cum at the tip of my dick, she wiped it with her finger and I eagerly licked it clean. She made me beg to come and then denied me each time. God. Then she surprised me. She stood up and took off her jeans. There was her panty-covered ass, so soft and round. I loved it. When she backed up and put it in my face, I didn't have to be told what to do. I immediately started to kiss it all over. I eagerly kissed all around both of her cheeks, and then I rubbed my face in between them. I pressed my face so deep into her butt cleavage that it was actually hard to breathe. But, oh, I could smell how turned on she was. God, I love kissing her ass. I love pressing my face deep into the soft, lovely, warm flesh of her ass. So, so much fun. I have a dildo that we refer to as her cock. So turned on by worshiping her ass, I asked her if she wanted me to get it. With a smile, she asked if I wanted to suck her cock. Of course the answer was yes. Unfortunately, I had forgotten to bring it with me. Can you believe that? All turned on and no big fat girl cock to suck. We were both disappointed. But there is another party coming up in a little more than a week. I made sure her cock is in my bag this time, and I also bought a brand new pair of panties to wear. I can't wait to have her pull them down, be teased, and spanked, and hopefully, this time, get to suck some girl cock. I love playing the slut for her, and while she hasn't strapped it on and fucked me yet, I'm really hoping that will happen soon, too. So, does that put you in the mood for a dirty story? This story is one of my favorite types, a nude in public story. The exposure, the humiliation, the risk, it's all part of what I love about nude in public. Usually, I have my naked hero or heroine sneaking around trying not to get caught. But in this story, I went a completely different route. The Office of Decent Exposure. Preface. Audrey, are you ready? Agent Sinclair turned to me and asked. I shook my head yes. I hope so, because they're going to announce us any second now, he said, as if I needed a reminder. I must have looked nervous, because he put his hands on my upper arms, looked me right in the eye, and said, don't worry, you've got this. Just do the exact same thing you've been doing all along. The only difference is that you'll be on stage at a national TV press conference. I'll be fine, I said. Inwardly, I thought, easy for you to say. You're wearing a finely tailored, expensive suit. I'm standing here stark naked, and I'm about to be stark naked on a stage at a national press conference in front of dozens of TV cameras. Agent Sinclair let go of me, turned back towards the entrance to the stage, and said, I know you're going to do great, Audrey. You were born for this job. I knew it the moment I saw you. There were people buzzing all around backstage. Most of them were too busy to stop and look at me as I stood there, naked. Although, every now and then, I caught someone looking me up and down. I leaned forward just a bit and looked past the stage at the audience. There must have been 50 to 75 people crowded into the tiny press room. Most of them had video cameras, and they looked like they were eagerly awaiting our entrance. There was a man on stage. He was talking, but his words were just background noise to me. At least until I heard him say, Audrey Wilson and Agent Bradley Sinclair of the newly formed Office of Decent Exposure. My heart pounded in my chest as I took my first steps towards the center of the stage. I also felt more than a twinge of excitement as my naked body became visible to everyone in the room. The audience stood up and murmurs of shock went through the crowd. The flashes from the still cameras went off all through the audience, like twinkling explosions of light. Dozens of video cameras caught my every move as I walked out, naked, onto the stage. There was no podium, of course. They wanted my entrance to be unblocked and dramatic. Everyone else had clip-on mics. I had a high-tech wireless headset, a plastic piece hooked over my ear, and a slim wire snaked around my cheek. There was a small transmitter at the back of my neck, hidden under my hair. I had my belly chain and a few other pieces of body jewelry. Other than that, I was completely exposed to the entire world. As I stood there, looking out into the audience, I couldn't help but think how simply this had all started. Chapter 1. It was a warm summer day in Florida. I couldn't stand being locked up all day in my dusty office. So I decided to go to the park near the building I worked in. I found a nice bench, sat down, and ate my lunch as I watched the people walk by. One of the things I liked about living in Florida is that most offices loosen up the dress code during the summer months. It gets way too hot to wear formal business clothing down here. In the name of Florida heat, I don't have to worry about being covered from head to toe. We can't be inappropriate or slutty, but we are given a little more latitude in how we dress. That day, I was dressed in a skin-tight black skirt that came down to my mid-thigh. My top was thin, tight, and cut just low enough at the top to be cool without showing off too much. Not that anyone could see it, but I wore a pretty, lightweight bra that allowed my breasts to sway just a bit under my blouse as I moved. I hadn't bothered with panties that day. I didn't want panty lines to show through my skirt. I topped all that off with a nice pair of black high heels. As long as they were polite and not creepy, I won't deny, I enjoyed the appreciative looks I got from the guys. I had just finished my lunch and decided to go on a little walk before I headed back to the office. I walked down the path and through the park. Despite the heat, it was a really lovely day. I was just enjoying my walk when I spotted a handsome man in an expensive suit with a briefcase looking my way. He looked at me for a moment and then walked towards me. I kept a cool, uninterested look on my face. There was no way of knowing what type of guy he was, so I didn't want to encourage him until I knew. Like I said, he was handsome and well-dressed, so if he wasn't a total creep, he might just get lucky. "Excuse me, miss, may I talk to you for a moment?" he asked politely in a soothing baritone voice. "Yes," I said with a plain look. "My name is Bradley Sinclair. I'm from the Office of Decent Exposure," he said as he held up a small leather wallet. One side of the wallet held a badge, and the other side had a picture ID. It all looked real and official. It had his name on it and the words, "The Office of Decent Exposure." "The Office of what?" I asked as I looked at him. "The Office of Decent Exposure," he said with a charming smile. "It's a newly formed government agency that I work for." "And what can I do for you, Mr. Sinclair?" I asked as I tried not to succumb to his smile. "As an agent of the Office of Decent Exposure, I have the authority to offer you a legal exemption from the indecent exposure laws. Basically, I can give you legal permission to be without clothes in public, if you wish." I just stared at him blankly, not knowing what to say. Finally, I gathered my wits enough to laugh and say, You must be joking." "No, no, I'm quite serious. It's a new government initiative to increase body acceptance and to encourage physical fitness among the general population. I assure you, miss, it's all quite on the level. I've already spoken to at least 10 women besides you today." "And they all just got naked in public?" I asked skeptically. "I admit, not all of them did, but almost half of them agreed to it," he said happily. "We are a new, relatively unknown agency that is looking for volunteers before the publicity campaign begins. I spotted you from across the park and thought you might be interested in the program. There are some very nice perks if you agree to volunteer." "What makes you think I might be interested in something like that?" I said, flattered and at the same time a little offended that he might think I'm some kind of slut who'll get naked at the drop of a hat. "Well, you're a very attractive young woman," he said with his charming smile. "And while you dress in a very tasteful and elegant way, your clothes are also fairly revealing." I looked down at myself and said, "I'm not showing an inch of skin that could be considered obscene or offensive." He took the opportunity to look me up and down in detail. By the look on his face, there wasn't anything he saw that he found offensive. "Certainly not, miss," he said apologetically, "and I didn't mean to imply that you were in any way immoral or improper. We, at the Office for Decent Exposure, believe that there is nothing immoral or improper about the human body. We want to change the way the American people think, and we're looking for courageous people such as yourself to help us." "So you want me to just remove my clothing and walk around stark naked all the time?" I asked with doubt in my voice. Outwardly, I was doubtful, but inside, I have to admit, I was a little excited by the idea. I was being coy about my outfit. I knew it covered me well enough, while at the same time outlining all that I had to offer quite well. Almost all of my clothes were chosen to be tasteful, classy, and as sexy as I could possibly manage. I work hard to maintain my figure, and I like to show it off. "Yes, Precisely. Once you signed up with the Office of Decent Exposure, you would be allowed to go unclothed wherever you like. I couldn't, I said, pretending to be shocked when I was really a little excited. I would be arrested or attacked before I got halfway down the street. You'll find the laws concerning violence against women have changed drastically. There is now a zero-tolerance policy and strict punishments for anyone who attacks or sexually abuses a woman. There are also serious fines and strict punishments for any woman who is caught falsely accusing someone of an attack, but we don't expect that to be much of a problem. You'll also find the police force has been doubled and tripled in some areas, all for the safety of those who join the program. I had noticed more of a police presence around the city. It seemed unusual, but with things the way they are today, I just assumed it was a sign of the times. And what do I have to do to join this program? I asked skeptically. Simply remove your clothes. Once you hand every last stitch of clothing over to me, you may keep your shoes if you wish. You'll fill out a few forms, I'll give you your ID card, and you're all set. Agent Sinclair said as if that was the easiest thing in the world to do. And that's it. I walk through the center of town stark naked and back to my office, like nothing has changed? I asked as if he was crazy. Well, there is one other thing I'd need to give you, he said as he lifted up his briefcase. I thought as much. Where's the catch? I asked. No, it's nothing like that. This, he said as he held his briefcase flat and popped open the top, is one of the perks I was talking about earlier. There, on the inside of the top of his briefcase, against a black velvet backdrop, hung a long golden chain. In the center was a nice-sized gemstone that a strand of pearls hung off of and looped back to the gold chain. There was also a strip of cloth about 4 inches wide. Oh my God, is that real? I asked as I looked at it closely. 100%. The chain is 18 karat gold, and the cultured pearls are the finest money can buy, he said proudly. It's amazing, I said, awed by the beautiful piece of jewelry. And I could just have it for free. Yes, it's yours, once you join the agency as a volunteer. Oh, right. I have to be naked to wear it, I said, as if even thinking about this was crazy. It's kind of long for a necklace. It's meant to be worn around the waist, actually. Is your belly button pierced by any chance? It happens to be, yes. Why do you ask? Well, I have a chain that is designed to hang off of a belly piercing. In my opinion, it's the prettiest, and I'm sure it would look lovely on you. What's the strip of cloth for? I asked. It's sort of a loincloth, he said delicately. So it would cover my... I asked as I looked down my front. No, the strip of cloth is meant to hang down the back, for public health reasons, you understand, he said with a knowing look. I realized that it was meant to cover my anus and vagina when I sat down. I didn't think it would cover much when I stood or walked, though. I imagined it swaying from side to side as I walked. It would probably give the world peeks of everything as I moved. I doubt it would cover anything if I bent at the waist. My heart skipped a beat as I imagined myself bent over to pick up something. The tiny little strip of cloth would fall to one side and show anyone who was behind me everything. No, this is crazy, I said as I came to my senses. I couldn't possibly do this for a piece of jewelry, no matter how pretty it is. As I said, there are other perks. You get a nice tax break, and think of all the money you'd save on clothing. There is a lot of beautiful body jewelry you'd be able to buy with that money, Agent Sinclair said convincingly. I imagined myself walking stark naked down the street, covered in nothing but gold and jewels. No, this is crazy. My boss would fire me on the spot if I showed up for work naked. That would be against the law. With your ID card, you'll also get an official pamphlet to hand out to anyone who questions you. In addition to giving a summary of the new rules regarding public decency, it will point the reader to an official .gov website. On there, they will find your name under the registered participants and a full list of all rules and regulations that everyone must follow. I just looked at him blankly. I actually thought about doing it, though. I actually did. I thought about taking off all my clothes, all 3 pieces of clothing, right there in the park. I looked around to see who might end up watching me. There was a smattering of people all over the park. 3 people here, 4 people there, a small group over by that tree. I knew that every single one of them would take notice of me the minute I started to remove my clothing. I imagine all those eyes on my naked body. I can't deny that I liked the idea. Then I thought about my friends, my family, and my coworkers. I don't know if I can do this, I said nervously. There's no rush to make this decision, Agent Sinclair said reassuringly. Here, I'd like you to have something. He reached into the bottom of his briefcase and pulled out a card. Attached to the card was a set of earrings that matched the belly chain. This is a temporary exemption card, he said as he held out the card to me. It will allow you to experiment on your own until the date printed on the bottom. This way, you can get a feel for it and see if you'd like to go full-time. The earrings are a gift. They are yours to keep whether you decide to become a full-time participant in the program or not. I slowly took the card from his hand and asked, I'm not obligated to anything if I accept this. Not a single thing, he said sincerely. They are lovely, I said as I looked at the earrings. I also couldn't help but look at the date. The card was good until Monday. That would give me the weekend to try it out if I wanted to. You'll also find a few of my business cards clipped to the back of the temporary ID. If at any time you change your mind about the program, or have friends you think might like to join, feel free to give me a call, he said with a warm smile. I looked at the belly chain one last time and then said, Thank you, I will. You're very welcome, and you really should test out that temporary exemption card. You can't make a fully informed decision unless you know what you're considering. Agent Sinclair said as he closed his briefcase. I'll think about it, I said truthfully. Good. Hope to hear from you soon, he said as he waved and then walked away. How tempted do you think Audrey really is? Will she go for it? Will she get naked? I guess you already know the answer to that question, but it's the details you're missing. Well, don't worry. This story will be another one of my freebies. You're going to hear a lot about Audrey in future podcasts. So, until then, I'll see you next time, and thanks for listening. Please, send any feedback or comments about this podcast or my writing to arterotica@gmail.com. And if you heard this podcast on X Hamster, if you could give me a thumbs up, that would be great. Thanks.